Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast. Hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa John. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
In this week's episode, we experienced some technical issues with our audio. We sincerely apologize, Dr. Britt and Dr. Lisa.
Welcome back to season 2, episode 8 of the Real Docs Podcast. We are your co-hosts, Dr. Lisa John.
And I'm Dr. Britt Lesher.
Today, we are going to talk about some of the highlights from a naturopathic conference that we just came back from in Chicago. It was our National Association of Naturopathic Physicians.
Mm-hmm.
It's called AANP. And every year they have a conference for continuing education for us. A really good event. I feel like we always have a good time. Usually we go to the one in Arizona in sweltering heat, but this time it was in Chicago. So we're going to be talking about some of the highlights, some of our favorite moments, things that we've learned.
One thing I have to say is, well, this is like our third AAMP that we've done kind of together. And, like Dr. Lisa said, it usually happens in Arizona. This time it was in Chicago. This is both of our first times going to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so we, outside of the conference, we did get to experience a lot of stuff. And one highlight that I will take away from the Chicago city is that I don't think it's better than New York pizza.
Ooh.
Yeah, I made my mind up. Not as good as New York pizza.
Okay. I might get some hate comments.
Trying to start the controversy here.
Yes. Shall we start with you, Dr. Britt? What was your first favorite moments or things you learned from the conference?
So this year, there were like a couple of talks on living in rhythm and getting back into the rhythm of the earth. And something called chrononutrition, which is essentially just the idea that we really should be eating with the seasons and the research and the reasoning why we should do that. So a lot of it was talking about like best times to eat and also like best times to set your cues for sleep, for your mealtime, for socializing even, like when you should be doing your work. One of the talks that I listened to really talked about eating with the seasons, and that is actually based on the idea that there are polyphenols, which are usually like the things in plants that give them pigmentation, like the red and the purple and all of that stuff. And we know that that has a lot of antioxidant capacity. And so it's just the idea of like with each season, there are certain produce, fruits and vegetables that have this polyphenol content that you should be focusing on and that can actually help prevent chronic illness from developing. So I was literally just telling Brian last night, I was like, I think we have to start eating with the seasons more. I mean, I kind of do it, but if you think about it really, like each type of produce, you can get access to it at all points throughout the year, really, because of the times that we live in now. But traditionally, that wouldn't have been possible, right? You would only be able to eat the fruits and vegetables or the produce that was in season for that season in your area. But now we've kind of gotten out of rhythm because we just eat whatever, whenever, right? So chrononutrition really talks about is focusing on that, those signals that come with food. The other thing too with that talk came with like light and dark. Mm. And so one takeaway that I got from that is that we are actually getting too much light stimulus, which I think a lot of people know about. And so blue blocking lights and you know, turning off your phone and all of that stuff came into the talk. But there is actually research that shows that we're actually in a darkness deficiency, meaning when we are supposed to be exposed to darkness at night, things are not dark enough because of the lights that we could keep around us. And so the lady was talking about, which I know that you use, eye blocking out your eyes or getting blackout curtains, or even she talked about using a Lux Meter. So this Lux Meter is something you can download on your phone, mm-hmm. and you can go around your room and find sources of light, and they essentially give you a, like, it has to be less than 10 lux, which is the light of 10 candles. And so that is a really good way to kind of test out your little cave mm-hmm. and see if there's any sources of light and which light should be diminished. So, you know, besides turning off your phone, besides the blue blocking lights, like really making sure that things are dark enough so that it's a cave, like you should be able to hold your hand out in front of you at arm's length and not be able to see your hands moving. That's how dark it should be. So that was a really good reminder that I got from that talk.
I love that. Yes, I'm a big fan behind yes. the eye mask when you're sleeping. I don't think... I've always been like someone who... Like, I haven't really had issues with sleep, thankfully, growing up. But I definitely notice a difference in the quality of sleep, especially just how dark it is. I love that you talked about eating in the seasons, because I feel like in our cultures, or just, I guess, food abundance in a way mm-hmm. in our country, is that there's, you know, things like broccoli or onions or whatever have you, right? That's mm-hmm. just available all the time. But I do remember there was something that they talked about, she talked about in that talk, where if you were to eat the same food that wasn't in season, mm-hmm. you actually don't have the same or similar impact of the anti-inflammatory, antioxidant activity as compared to if you were eating those certain foods right. in season, which I thought was like,
that's crazy. Holy.
Like,
that's kind of like related to like the whole bear, how bears eat berries right before hibernation. Like if they ate berries at any other point or any other season, then it wouldn't necessarily have that metabolic effect mm. that gets them through hibernation.
My first one was a talk that we went to that was updates on endometriosis. Now, endometriosis is something we learned, you know, definitely from medical school. And, you know, I feel like we both have a good amount of patients who, you know, suffer from endometriosis, right? But one of my favorite portion of that talk was, you know, looking just beyond endometriosis, right? Most times we only really think about like estrogen being high, or, you know, and that's kind of that. And, you know, a lot of conventional medicine, it's more of like reducing the estrogens, or like birth control pills, or, you know, selective estrogen receptor modulators to kind of reduce the estrogen, but nothing kind of beyond that. In naturopathic world, obviously that goes beyond that. But one of my favorite ones was talking about, still in the lens of estrogen, but in conjunction with our microbiome. When it comes to our microbiome, especially when there are dysbiosis or just that microbiome imbalance, it does impact our inflammation and immune system function, which actually are contributors when it comes to endometriosis as well. And then not only that, it has a huge impact when it comes to detoxification, metabolism of estrogen, all of that. And I think the biggest takeaway was, not that I wasn't doing it already, but when it comes to testing for patients, especially with endometriosis, whether it's the diagnosis or they already have the diagnosis, not only just looking at the hormones, but also looking at the gut microbiome, gut function, in terms of that testing lens as well.
Yeah, I thought it was so interesting too with that talk, because, you know, a lot of times these patients may or may not have complaints, GI complaints. But I think thinking about it from that lens of like, it could be that your microbiome is not optimal. It could be that we're not optimizing detoxification and checking those things anyway. So that is just a really good reminder to, even for us, when we're looking at patients who are dealing with maybe hormonal issues and they aren't necessarily complaining about gut stuff, that we still look there anyway. And, you know, because it, at least for me, sometimes I feel weird, like, asking about gut stuff if they're not complaining about it, or wanting to do gut testing if they're not directly complaining about it. Another thing that I realized too is that many people just get so accustomed to their dysfunctional gut and they don't complain about it because they think, well, I've always been like this, or I've always had abnormal bowel movements, or I've always had bloating, I've always had these things. So they don't bring it up in the visit, but then once you start asking about it and then comparing it, like, okay, if you should be having a bowel movement every day, or you shouldn't be having a large amount of bloating, then it's like the light bulbs are going off, like, oh my God, maybe I don't have good digestion.
Mm-hmm. I feel like so many people always say, like, oh, like, I thought that was my normal because always live with it. And mm-hmm. then they're like, oh, either someone told me or I saw on social media or something that that's not normal. And you're like, for us, I feel like we just sit there and we're like, yeah, that's not normal.
The other thing I was going to say, that there's a big piece of endocrine disruptors and, you know, xenoestrogens that we get from like our personal care products or things in the environment. And she talked about a test that you can do to determine the amount of that type of environmental pollution burden on the body. And it's a test called GGT. It's really cool because I know that there are very expensive tests out there that can measure your levels of, like, you know, phthalates and PCBs and all of those types of exogenous environmental pollutants in your blood. But this is kind of like a very good way to just determine if somebody has a higher load of that in the body.
Good liver detox marker. And I believe a lot of folks also use it kind of in that, like, chronic infection lens. But same kind of process, right? Like, just, are you detoxing, or are there just a lot of this toxic metabolite burden that your body's just really struggling to get it out? And I feel like name of the game is, like, we want to get rid of toxins as much as possible so that it doesn't contribute to inflammation, right, increasing reactivity. Again, same kind of picture for endometriosis too. So
the next one that I had on here is the talk on recurrent miscarriage, and she was more focusing on the miscarriages that happen, like, in the earlier, like, within the first trimester. And recurrent miscarriages, essentially, you're having three or more back-to-back miscarriages. So it's not like you have a baby and then you miscarry and then you have a baby. Recurrent miscarriages, one after the other. But she was essentially doing a plug for testing patients with recurrent miscarriage for their serum cortisol in the morning. We learned a lot about, like, how cortisol is a competitor with progesterone, which is our main, like, maternal hormone that, like,
progestation.
Exactly. And it kind of skyrockets when you get pregnant, but especially in those early weeks, they found that 90% of pregnancies where the patient had elevated morning cortisol led to a spontaneous abortion or miscarriage, versus 33% of patients with normal cortisol that happened to. So that increases your risk tenfold. And commonly, when I'm working with patients that are struggling with infertility or recurrent miscarriage, that is one thing I will say hardly ever gets tested. So that was just kind of a reminder for me that it is a very important hormonal marker, not just looking at progesterone or estrogen levels.
I mean, we talk about this, like, pretty much all the episodes, right? Or almost all the episodes, where we always talk about stress really being a number one factor to so many different things, or so many different conditions, diseases, all of that. Same goes for, you know, difficulty with conceiving, infertility, miscarriages, all of that. I feel like we as society kind of downplay the role of stress, and in the lens of cortisol too, right? Where, you know, I've even had a patient who had, we did like a 24-hour cortisol, salivary cortisol. She was just like a zombie, just like low, 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 low. And she was someone who's like gone for IVF, you know, all the different things. And it didn't even take, IVF didn't even take, and all that. So, you know, sometimes it seems a little simple, but really that's,
yeah,
just being simple is really a good start and might be a big contributor to what's going on.
if you have been given the diagnosis of, like, say, unexplained infertility, or you're having recurrent miscarriages and they don't know why, that might be a test that you'd want to, you know, ask your provider for. I think more times in naturopathic medicine, we're looking at the whole hormonal panel. You know, we always say, like, unexplained infertility and these types of issues, people get put in this bucket without adequate testing. So
my next one, my husband gave me so much actual, like, literal about this, and he just kept making fun of me when I was really excited. I had, like, a little, like, show and tell, like, haul collection, like, thing that I did in front of him, and he was just like, and I saved that one, this one, for the last, and he just looked at me, like, in, like, disbelief, like, are you actually gonna take that? And I'm like, yeah. And you gave me yours because you didn't want to take it, so I know it looks crazy. So my second and last favorite is Crapsule. And yes, you heard that right. Crapsule, like capsule with crap in it. Poop. And before you start going, ew, oh my gosh, are you nuts? Probably a little bit. And sometimes the great thing about conferences, right, is that sometimes you learn just different things from vendors when you talk to them too, in terms of not only what their products are about, but what was kind of like the science and the reason behind them, what it's for, you know, all these kind of sort of things. Now, for me being more in the gut health world, this definitely caught my eye, and I've heard of them prior to seeing them and talking to them at the conference. It's by a company called Thena Inc., and their product is Thena Biotic, aka the Crapsule. Now, this is basically fecal matter transplant in a capsule. It's not just random poop someone had taken and just capsulated after blending it, you know, nonchalantly in their kitchen or anything like that. It goes through a whole process of, you know, sterilization, processing, analyzing, all that kind of sort of stuff. So fecal matter transplant is really kind of big in more of the gut infection end of things, but also just like IBS, IBD. A lot of the talk about fecal matter transplant really goes with C. diff infection. Now, for those of you, like, funny enough, I literally just watched this yesterday. Rewatched it, I should say. There is a South Park episode about fecal matter transplant in relation to Tom Brady. Anybody's curious, it's season 23, episode 8.
Oh, it's
called Turd Burglar.
That's so funny because we were watching South Park while we were in Chicago, and I was like, well, I forgot how absolutely bonkers this show is.
It's kind of nuts in the most, like, hilarious and, like,
it's very funny way.
And that was kind of like the conversation that I had with my husband of, like
it's like the whole, like, South Park episode with, yeah, Tom Brady, and he just looking at me,
he knows exactly what I meant,
yeah,
and just, like, lost it. Anyway,
so funny.
Back to the fecal matter transplant, and I'm not calling it Crapsule. They actually coined the term. The company coined the term Crapsule. This basically acts as a postbiotic. And postbiotic, I'm sure at this point you guys have heard about prebiotic and probiotic. Postbiotics are basically things that suppress the growth of bad bacteria after you've gone through all your treatment with, you know, wiping away the overgrowing things, feeding it with good, you know, prebiotics, and re-inoculating with the good bacteria, like the probiotics. Postbiotic is post, aka end of it, mm-hmm, where you give it kind of like the good nutrient to suppress the growth of the bad bacteria and support the growth of the good bacteria. One of the most common postbiotic that's out there is butyrate, but they kind of took it to the next level to be like, you know, fecal matter transplant. It's kind of the new and big thing, and they've seen such good results from their own practice, because it's owned by various practitioners and whatnot. So they created this product, and we got samples. She didn't want to take it, so she gave it to me.
I was like, I'm scared of the burps.
I thought you said there weren't burps. I haven't taken it yet.
Okay, but let me know how it goes.
I actually bought a bottle of it.
You did?
Yeah, because that was a good deal, that there was, like, a little sale going on, so I was like, I'll just buy it. we like to try things on our own before we recommend it to patients.
We ain't lying.
Yeah.
Clearly.
So I'm gonna try these capsules. So I haven't taken it yet. I'm just kind of waiting until things settle down since we just came back from traveling and whatnot. But to be continued on this talk of how I react to the capsule. Okay. Without the whole, like, laughing about it and everything, it is really
It makes sense.
Yeah.
And people were doing FMT, fecal
matter
transplant, like where they take someone's donor and then encapsulate it or just transfer the stool into their rectum,
right?
But so I know that there's so much research and it's very promising. I think I just can't get past that part yet.
It's hard to get your mind around. So
yes,
I totally get it. What's really funny is that when we talked to the rep, he was like, yeah, like if you have a sensitive patient, you can break open the capsule and, you know, take half. And I was like, that's the part I can't get on board with that, but I'm okay with taking the capsule.
My last little tidbit was the talk that, it's not a fun topic, but it was about suicide. And essentially, you know, what are the updates in treatment and from a naturopathic standpoint, things that we should be aware of. So fun fact, I wanted to share this with you. Pets increase your life expectancy by 24%. Dr. Lisa just got a little dog. And a plug to my puppy to get me a fucking dog.
Get me a dog.
Do you want to live longer? Well, the research is out and we live 24% longer when we have pets.
Woohoo!
But it was just the talk was really helpful, but I also was just like, this is one of those things that, you know, we haven't really talked about it yet, but depression and mental health, there's such a huge, huge tie with nutrient deficiencies and like significant amounts of suicide can be, you know, prevented when these nutrient deficiencies are corrected. Nutrients like iron, B vitamins, vitamin D, these are very easy, basic nutrients that you can test for and you can supplement with the right provider. And that research is out that shows that it does prevent suicide and it does prevent, you know, the severity of depression and things like that. So I know it's not a fun note, but that's a profound message that I think a lot of people need to be aware of, because you may feel like your mental health is not doing great and you could feel like it may be all in your head, but it's not. There's physical, physiological reasons why you are not feeling good. And so you should work with a provider to figure out what those things are.
And for any of those who are struggling, we are going to put some good resources down on the bottom of the description for National Suicide Hotline. There's warm lines. There's now texting available to this hotline. And make sure you reach out to your provider or people around you who can be of support, because you're not alone. Mental health is really important. Life can be very intense and hard, but there are ways to go about it, whether it's the, you know, nutrient deficiency, testing and correction, therapy, talking to people, you know, community, so much more.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a kind of a pitfall from the crapsule talk, but that's what my takeaway was from the AMP. So
yeah. And maybe, you know, I mean, there's a big tie with mental health and gut health too, right? With that gut brain axis, maybe you just need a crapsule.
Yeah,
or some mental health.
I mean, we know that a lot of nutrient deficiencies come from like. A dysfunctional gut can happen from a dysfunctional gut too. So
it's a PSA for crapsules.
Crapsules. Take one daily.
I think that was it for our episode today of all the fun things we learned
fun
from.
And not fun.
Yes, the fun and not fun. You know, it's a 0 to 100% spectrum. Yes. If there's anything else that you guys are curious about, what is a naturopathic conference looking like, what else did we learn, anything else that you guys have questions for us, please let us know in our comments or DM us on our social media. And with that, thanks for tuning in.
Be real
and stay well.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs Podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.